Excellent. Well, it's lovely to see you. This is the fourth of our training and equipping evenings, so it's the last one of October. We're going to have a week's break for half term. Yay! All those teachers going, yes. And then we'll be starting up again in November. So, for the last few weeks, we've been opening up again what it means to be a people who are full of the Holy Spirit. So we started off looking at being baptized and continually refilled with the Spirit, as the Bible instructs. We looked at being sons and daughters who hear the Father's voice. Mike Bollinger came a couple of weeks ago, talking about how we believe that we have a God who speaks, and as sons and daughters, it's part of our inheritance that we hear our Father's voice. And so he was opening that up for us, and the whole subject of prophecy. And then we've also been looking at some of the gifts that flow from hearing the Father's voice, some of the prophecy, other revelation gifts, and how God wants to equip and empower us all for witness and service. So this week, as we kind of come to the end of this first little group of training and equipping evenings, I want to try and kind of tie some bits together and just ask the question, how do we experience more of the Holy Spirit? There is always more in God. It was kind of one of the catchphrases of kind of earlier in the year, came up through a number of kind of prophetic things and seemed to feature for a number of weeks, that kind of phrase, there's always more in God, and that's true, isn't it? But I guess the question that flows from that is, how do we access that more that God has for us? And of course, we need to ask, and again, through this series on encounter, it's one of the things that we've been looking at, being persistent in asking, believing that we have a Father who loves to give good gifts to his children. So that's partly the answer. We need to keep asking. But a couple of weeks ago, when Mike Bollinger was here with us, he used what I thought was a really helpful picture. I'm sure those of you that were here will remember that. But he talked about us being like jars that are filled with the perfume of the Holy Spirit. Oh, it was a really helpful picture. And one of the things that he kind of brought out of that picture was that sometimes it's possible for us to have kind of stoppers in the jar, in the neck of the jar, preventing the flow of that perfume of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives. Well, Jesus used another picture, really well-known picture to us when he was talking about the activity of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. He said this, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his or her heart will flow rivers of living water." That's John 7, really well-known verses to us. That's the promise of Jesus for every believer. The Holy Spirit flowing like rivers through our lives. And we know that Jesus doesn't lie and he doesn't exaggerate. That is the promise for us. Yet if we're really being honest, I wonder how often we would kind of describe the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives as the flow of a mighty river, and how sometimes we might think of it more as, well, it seems just a bit like a little trickle at the moment, if I'm being really honest. And the question I just want to look at for a little while tonight is it possible for us to allow rocks, I use that picture of rocks in our hearts and minds, to start blocking the flow of the river of the Holy Spirit? So just as you can kind of dam up a natural river with rocks and kind of prevent or slow down the flow of water, is it possible for us to kind of do that sometimes? Is that scriptural? Is that a scriptural thing? Do we have the ability to block or resist the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Well, I think Scripture says very clearly that we can. We're warned not to resist the Spirit, we're warned not to quench the Spirit, and we're warned not to grieve the Spirit in different verses in the New Testament. As we were looking at on Sunday, we know that God is sovereign, but in some ways and in some areas, he's expecting and wanting a level of partnership with us without which he's not going to move to the full extent that he desires to. So if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, but maybe the Spirit isn't always flowing as fast or as powerfully as we would like. Is it possible that there are kind of some things sometimes in our lives that are just providing a bit of blockage to the flow of the Spirit? We know sin, particularly persistent sin, can be a blockage if we leave it unchecked and undealt with. But we also know that God has given us the grace and the power to walk free from those things. But are there also particular things maybe in our heart and our mind that can hinder the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives? And I'd just like to take a bit of time this evening to highlight a few things that I think can be. Romans 12 calls us as believers to be continually transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that's the kind of the heart of the meaning of the word repentance. Transformed by the renewing of our minds. Repentance is not just about coming to Christ and receiving salvation, although that's a big part of repentance in our lives. It's not just about saying sorry. The kind of the heart of the word repentance is about a total mind shift concerning the things of God. So I want to look in a little while just at a few things that I think can sometimes lodge in our hearts and our minds that can block the flow or slow the flow of the Holy Spirit's activity in our lives, and just look at how we can get that total mind shift, how we can repent from those things and find freedom in them. So we're going to worship in a moment, and what I really want for us tonight is actually to be listening to God. So as we worship in a moment, I really want to encourage you to open the eyes and the ears of your heart to what the Father's saying to us this evening. So we're just going to spend a bit of time. We're not going to hurry through the worship. I just want us to be tuning our spirits in to our Father through the Holy Spirit. I want us to be listening to Him. And as I speak, I want you to be listening to me, but more than that, through that, what I want for us, and for me as I speak, I want to be listening to the Holy Spirit too. Because tonight is not about us digging around in the deepest depths of our psyche for hidden rocks that may be in our hearts and our minds, but simply just being open to the Holy Spirit, who knows every heart and promises to lead us into all truth, to help us see if there's anything in our hearts and minds that we just simply need to acknowledge and ask Him to deal with. I am thirsty for a greater flow of the Holy Spirit in my life. I really am. And I hope you are. So I really want to be listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying in my life tonight. So we're going to worship now. We're going to open our eyes and ears to Him, fix our attention and our praise on God. And let's just be open to the Holy Spirit and what He's saying. So as we worship, you just feel stirred to bring something prophetically, you want to pray, you want to bring scripture, then let's right from the off just be open to Him and what He wants to say to us tonight. Then I'm going to speak, and again, I just encourage you, be listening to the Holy Spirit. And the reason I've just suggested we have pens and paper is just so that you can jot down anything that you feel God is saying to you tonight through His Spirit. And then we're going to have, after I've spoken for a little while, we're just going to have a time of quiet, a time for us to respond, just to kind of respond to what God's been saying to us, to be honest before God. And I want us to just finish the evening by praying together, by praying encouragement on one another, by praying for the revelation of God's truth and the freedom that that brings for one another. And just to be able to do that and to encourage each other in God. So that's what we're going to do. Okay, so can I invite us just to prepare our hearts now, and let's worship Him. So why don't we stand together? Let's just allow the Holy Spirit to continue to speak to us. I'm just going to just share a few things for a little while, and then we're going to pray together. But let's just stay in that attitude of, that was such a helpful picture, wasn't it? Just the Holy Spirit just intertwining everything, every strand of our lives, every part of us as his people together. He's here amongst us. Yeah, just continue to invade our thoughts, direct our hearts. Holy Spirit, we pray. Yeah. God's all about the fullness, wanting us to come into the fullness of everything that he has for us. That's just fantastic. So I just want to spend a short time just looking at what are some of the possible rocks that can just get into the flow of the river that can stop us experiencing some of that fullness at times. And in pulling some thoughts together for this evening, I've drawn heavily from a really helpful book. Andy, could I have the PowerPoint up? Yeah, that was it. Lovely. Well, it's there and it's gone. It's just a really helpful book that that I've been reading. I know some of the others in the eldership have been reading. I would so recommend this book. It's by Simon Holly, who leads the King's Arms Church in Bedford. Part of our kind of New Frontiers family of churches, called Sustainable Power. And as I say, I've drawn kind of quite heavily just some thoughts from it for this evening, but I can only scratch the surface of some of these things that I'm going to look at. I can just so recommend this book. Please do get it, do read it, because it just will flesh out lots of things that I'm just going to scratch the surface of with just very helpful practical illustrations from their kind of journey as a church and from scripture. So, yeah, anyway, I'll start with a book recommendation. But so let's think for a moment, and let's just continue to listen to the Holy Spirit as we go through what are some things that can just sit in our hearts and just prevent us sometimes from coming into the fullness of the flow of the Holy Spirit, that kind of flow of the river. So a few things. Perhaps we could just click the first one up, Andy. So the first one is kind of self-reliance. You know, we have, don't we, a God who is a Father who loves us. Goodness me, he even likes us. He doesn't just love us. He likes us. He's chosen us and adopted us. He's committed himself to us for eternity to provide and forgive and to heal and to encourage and to do us good and to bring us to maturity, equipping us for every good thing that he has planned for us to do. He rejoices over us, the Bible says. He has secured us in his Son, Jesus, and he sings songs of love over you and me, songs of approval over us daily. And yet, even as Christians, sometimes circumstances, untruths, unhelpful earthly comparisons can rob us sometimes of some of this joy and security of knowing and resting in the confidence of our Father's perfect goodness for us. And instead of having a heart that is the secure heart of a son and daughter, loved and chosen and secure in our Father, we can sometimes have an orphan heart, a heart that isn't truly connected to the source of life and power that is in our Father, a heart that can sometimes come a bit cut off from the Father's love that makes our lives a safe place for his power to be poured out. Let's click through a few clicks, Andy. Thank you. And keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Next one. There we go. Thank you. So how can we recognize this? How can we recognize this kind of orphan heart, this sort of self-reliance? Well, one way is how do our hearts react when we come under pressure, when needs arise in our lives? Do we have a tendency to push the panic button and go into emotional tailspin? Or is our heart filled with confidence and trust in our Father to provide all that we need? Because self-reliance kind of pushes us back into our own very limited resources instead of propelling us into God's unlimited supply for us. How do we recognize this if our heart is just starting to kind of tend towards this self-reliance? Well, I've got a little table. If you could do the next click, which is just some helpful little symptoms for us that we can just find sometimes. How do we see God? Well, the orphan heart sees God as a hard master, but the heart of a son and daughter sees God as a generous father. The orphan heart just has that tendency towards independence. I can fix this on my own. I can work this out. I can sort this out. The heart of a son and daughter just immediately leaps towards the Father. Father, I need you to help me in this. The orphan heart is insecure. The heart of a son and daughter is completely secure in the embrace and the hold of the Father. The orphan heart's always kind of looking for man's approval. Do you ever find that? I know I do sometimes. I find myself looking for approval from other people. Whereas the heart of a son and daughter knows the approval of the Father. It doesn't need to seek their own glory. The orphan heart just has that tendency just to compare ourselves with other people. Whereas the heart of a son and daughter knows that what we are is completely and totally based on what the Father says about us. That never changes. The orphan heart, we can just sometimes be jealous of others instead of giving of ourselves to others. We can be quick to judge instead of merciful and forgiving. We can be cold and hard sometimes instead of being affectionate. In Ephesians 3, Paul prays this for the believers. He prays this. He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Paul prays for the believers. He reminds them of their connection to the Father. He reminds them of the unlimited resources and the generosity of their Father to them. He reminds them of their security in their Father through Jesus. And he asks for the Holy Spirit to reveal and fill them with the knowledge and the experience of the love of Father, so that they may be filled to the brim with the fullness of the Father's love. The Father loves us. That's the foundation block of our lives. We don't want to have self-reliant hearts, do we? We want to have hearts that are totally reliant and dependent on God, where we move from striving to produce fruit to just being confident and resting and abiding in connection to the Father so that fruit happens. So that's one thing that can just be a rock in our hearts sometimes, just creep in there, that tendency towards self-reliance rather than dependence on God. You click the next one for me, Andy. Thank you. And again, what's the next one? Fear. Fear can just be a real rock in our hearts. How much of what God longs to do in his kingdom doesn't happen sometimes because we get so locked up in fear? Paul, when he's writing to Timothy in his second letter, he says to Timothy, "I want you to fan into flame the gift of God within you." Timothy had received a gift from God, but it had fallen into disuse. Why? Through fear. As Paul says, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and self-discipline. Jesus had to teach his disciples and lead them out of fear. He taught them about fear of others, fear of death, fear of disappointment, fear of lack of provision. What are the fears that sometimes grip our hearts, do you think, that kind of can prevent us from pressing into all that God has for us? I think some of these things. Fear of rejection. How often does that kind of grip our hearts and stop us doing what the Holy Spirit is maybe asking us to? Because we're worried about what the reaction's going to be. We're going to worry about ridicule. We're going to be worried about being ostracized from others. You know, I really battled with that this afternoon. I was out, I'd been walking out, delivering, taking a book back to someone. And on my way back, my neighbour was out in the street. And I've had a chance to chat with my neighbour on a number of occasions. And he's pretty sceptical about Christianity. And interestingly, he's got a... it's not a nephew. I think his niece is married to a guy. Anyway, we know them from way back. They're Christians. So he kind of knows. We've talked with him about what we do, what we believe. And this guy's broken his wrist. And he's a builder, so he's off work. He's in a lot of pain with it, a bit worried about it. And I was chatting with him, staring at this big blue cast on his wrist, thinking about all the things that I've been saying and praying for over these last weeks and months, thinking, I need to pray for this guy. But you know what was in my heart? Fear. What's he going to say? I know he's skeptical about Christianity. It was a real battle. It was a real battle. But you know what? I offered to pray for him. And he said, thank you. So I prayed for him. But how often does fear just stop us? We just kind of stop just short of doing that. What other fears? Fears of failure. Goodness me, how often do we just want to stick with what we know? Because we think, if I try something I don't know and make a mistake, I'm going to look stupid. I'm going to look stupid in front of others. I'm going to look stupid in front of God. People are going to think less of me. We just need to remember, in God's eyes, success is about obedience. It's not about the outcome. It's not about how well we think we've done. It's about obedience and faithfulness. Just simply avoiding situations because we think we might make a mistake is just the biggest mistake of all. Fear of failure, fear of poverty maybe, stopping us from just being generous in the kingdom because we're afraid God won't provide for us. 1 John 4 says there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We're not under fear of punishment, are we? We have a Father who loves us and delights in us. So we just need to recognize sometimes fear gets hold of our hearts. God, give us a mind transformation about this. Help us. We want to repent of fear and just move fully into that knowledge of your love that just allows fear to lose its grip on our hearts. And we're not worried about what others say because we know what our Father says. We're not worried about making mistakes because we know that our Father is for us. If we can get rid of that rock of fear in our hearts, then we're going to be able to do things that our loving Father is asking us to do, to take opportunities for good works that he's setting up for us. What's another rock? Judgment. So easy, isn't it, just to slip into the place of judging other people. When I proudly put myself in the place of God and make judgments over others that I don't have any right to make. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that we are not to discern right from wrong. We are to discern right from wrong. Ephesians 5:10 says that living as children of the light, we should find out what pleases the Lord. We should help our brothers or sisters when we know they're struggling. But the Bible just warns us not to get into a place of judging. How do we know when it's judgment rather than discernment? Well, judgment kind of concludes with us feeling superior over someone. That's how we tell the difference. Judgment robs other people of God's God-given value of them. When we find ourselves thinking, I'd never do something like that. Or, can you believe what they did? Or, what on earth were they thinking when they did that? Did you hear what those people do? Just want to get rid of that rock of judgment. Because how can God use us to bless when inside our hearts are cursing? How can God use us to bind up when inside I'm breaking other people down? How can God use us to heal when I actually in my heart I'm not showing value to someone? How can God use us to show mercy when I'm full of judgment? Jesus, he just demonstrated this. It oozed out of him. When the woman who was caught in adultery was brought to him, and the Pharisees, they had judgmental hearts. They wanted destruction. What did Jesus want? He wanted to give her time to repent. Judgment brings down the axe as soon as possible, but discernment and mercy holds back the axe as long as possible. God's power flows in a healthy, sustainable way when it flows from hearts that are full of mercy and grace and compassion. Judgment keeps us at arm's length from people. Jesus wants us to draw close to people, to minister freedom and power to people. So we just need to recognize it when it crops up in our hearts, when it pops up in our hearts, very often when we're feeling a bit vulnerable ourselves. Just we need to find forgiveness and freedom from it. Now, this doesn't make us soft on sin. Actually, laying down a judgmental spirit creates an atmosphere where people are willing to be open about things that are wrong in their lives and creates a platform for God's Spirit to draw people to genuine repentance. So there's fear. A few more. Control is the next one. Now, self-control, of course, is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a good thing. Sets us free to obey, it helps us avoid sin, helps us say no to unhelpful things. But religious control is the kind of counterfeit of godly self-control. It takes God's intention to bring life and freedom to people and twists it around until it becomes bondage. By minimizing the things that are important to God and making a lot of maximizing the things that are less important. Religious control wants freedom, but on its own terms. Like one of the most tragic verses in the gospel is Luke 7:30. And it says, "But the Pharisees rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by John." See, the Pharisees, they wanted a move of God, but they wanted it on their own terms. They wanted to see people set free and Israel return to its former glory. But they didn't like the package that God was using. First through John the Baptist and then through Jesus. It offended them. It offended their minds. And what happened? They missed out. Because when God moves, he can move in any way he chooses, can't he? He can use whomever he chooses. And he can do whatever he chooses in whatever way he wants to. I want to protect my heart, and I want us to protect our hearts from taking offense at the way God does things. And I think particularly we can be vulnerable to this in the area of worship and in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Do we sometimes struggle with the style and expression of worship? Or the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit? Or are we delighted in God and free in worship? And happy for others to be free in their expression of worship too. What about when these kind of manifestations of the Holy Spirit come? When there's laughing, when there's shaking, when there's crying, when there's falling over, when there's twitching, when there's strange noises. Just because something seems strange to us or outside of our experience maybe, can we be sometimes quick to write it off? Yes, we need to be discerning, but I think sometimes we can just be in danger of jumping to conclusions and closing our hearts to what God might want to do in and through us. So are we happy for things to get a bit unorthodox and to our eyes maybe a bit chaotic sometimes if it means people are breaking through into freedom in God? I hope we are. I hope we don't allow ourselves to get offended by these things. Wouldn't we rather have things sometimes that cause us to scratch our heads a little bit rather than be so buttoned up that we miss out on what God is doing? Maybe some of these things are just kind of ringing one or two bells in our hearts, or we can think of things or times where maybe we've just felt some of these things. Just allow the Holy Spirit just to gently put his finger on things as we go through. A couple more. Unbelief and cynicism. This can be a rock that can just prevent the flow of the Holy Spirit in us. You know, God is so gracious that he can and does work even in the midst of our unbelief sometimes and the mess. But as we saw on Sunday, Jesus, when he saw faith, he commended it and he responded to it. In contrast, we read occasions where unbelief was so powerful that actually in Mark 6 we see in Jesus' hometown it meant that he couldn't do any miracles there. Unbelief or cynicism, it can break us off from God's plan for us, can stop us entering fully into his rest. It can even cause us to fall away in our faith sometimes, partly or totally. It's spiritual poison, the Bible says. Unbelief and cynicism. You know, as a nation, we can be a cynical people, can't we? It's kind of a bit of a default characteristic of our nation sometimes, that we kind of like to mock things and like to be cynical about things. Bible says we've got to try and avoid this at all costs because it's real poison to faith, cynicism. In Ephesians 1, the other great kind of prayer that Paul prays for the church, he prays for revelation from God that the Christians would know the immeasurable greatness of God's power for us. We need revelation in our hearts of God's greatness and his power. And when we add that to faith, when we dare to believe what God says, that's spiritual dynamite for us. And the enemy wants to stop us hearing the word. He wants to block revelation. And he also wants to fill our minds with cynicism because that blocks faith in our lives. Again, what are the symptoms? You might think, well, I'm not full of unbelief. I don't have cynicism in my heart. Well, sometimes we can just have the seeds of it grow in our hearts very easily. You might feel let down or disappointed by God if he doesn't work in the way you've asked or the way you think he should. That can just be a seed of cynicism or unbelief. Maybe when I hear of others' experiences of God's presence or power, my default response is cynical. I try to analyze it or I try to minimize it or disprove what others claim. Maybe if my first response to a tough situation is that's impossible, rather than, well, that's possible with God. Maybe if prayer is usually a last resort rather than a first resort. If I doubt God speaks to others as they claim, because he doesn't speak to me like that. If I'm reluctant to receive prayer because it hasn't worked before in my thinking. If I think my situation or my sins or my fears are never going to change. If I have a tendency to worry or anxiety or fear about things that really cripples my heart. These could all be signs of just seeds of unbelief that we want to just repent of and just ask God to deal with and help us walk in freedom from. Last one. Disappointment with God. This can be a real rock in our hearts to just coming into the fullness of what God has for us now. Disappointment with God or offense with God when God hasn't done what we've hoped for and we blame him. This is a biggie because life is painful and difficult at times, isn't it? And we can really easily, I think, harbour disappointment with God if we're not careful. So what do we do if we find disappointment in our hearts? Because it happens. Because life's hard and difficult sometimes. Well, first thing is we shouldn't try and deny disappointment. We shouldn't try and cover it up with just kind of a bit of super spirituality. Or a few pat phrases. Now, the biblical answer to disappointment in our hearts is to take it to the Father and to express it. You read the Psalms. You know, we all got our nice favourite Psalms that we read, don't we? But actually, if you get beyond our favourites, actually a lot of the Psalms are real expressions of disappointment from the psalmist towards God. And the head says God is good, but the heart just questions it. The thing is to express it, not to bury it, but bring it to God. Bring it to God humbly, but express it to God, because that's the start of the journey of allowing God to bring comfort to us and bring healing to us. Because we can't stay in that place, because then unbelief really will take root in our hearts. So what are some antidotes to disappointment with God? There's a few things, I think. Just developing a grateful heart. We just need to be so grateful for what God has done in our lives, don't we? We have been given eternal life. We have been made sons and daughters and raised up and seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. God has blessed us in so many ways in our lives, and yet the minute disappointment strikes, we just forget all that, don't we? We should celebrate every little thing that God does with abandon in our lives. God is working on our behalf. God is pouring out grace upon grace in our lives. Let's be grateful people. Let's celebrate and shout when God works, when God just reminds us of all that he's done. Particularly powerful can be celebrating other people's answers to prayer when we're still waiting for our own. Because that can be a struggle, can't it? We see someone else getting breakthrough in an area that we're crying out to God for. Can be incredibly powerful. Just to bring our honest hearts before God, but say, Lord, we want to celebrate with that person and give thanks. By laying down our right to understand, it's so natural for us, isn't it, to think why when something happens. Why, God? Show me why and I'll be content. That's kind of what I think sometimes. Just show me why, God, and then I'll be content. But Proverbs instructs us, doesn't it, to trust the Lord with all our heart and not be reliant on our own understanding. And Philippians 4 promises that when we pray with thankful hearts, we can expect to experience God's peace. That is beyond understanding. It is not reliant on us understanding the situation. We don't like mystery. We don't like not knowing, do we? But actually, that's the reality a lot of the time. We don't know why things happen. But that keeps us drawing close to God and reliant on him. And actually, I don't know is an okay response in our lives. Why is this happening? I don't know. Don't know. But I trust God. I want to trust God. Just keeping that simple trust in our hearts. Actually, I know God is good. I know God is good. Bad things happen, but God is good. And God can even turn the bad things to good in my life. I think that's it. Okay, that's a bit of a list, isn't it? Let's take a deep breath for a moment. Looking at that list, listening to the Holy Spirit, do I need to repent in all of these areas? I'm going to spend the rest of my life repenting, if that's the case. And there are probably more, actually, than I've just put up there that can just fill our hearts and just be a bit of a blockage for us. The reality is, actually, isn't it, that we are all going to struggle in these areas at different times in our life. Isn't that true? Is that your experience? Hope so. I hope it's not just me. God wants to bring us into his fullness. And it's by his grace. It's not by our effort. It's by his grace. From his fullness, he pours out grace upon grace upon grace into our lives. Why? Because he wants to bring us into the fullness of everything that he has for us. So when the Holy Spirit just kind of puts his finger on things in our hearts and in our lives. And just says, you know what, Simon, that's just a bit of an issue at the moment with you, isn't it? You're struggling with that a bit at the moment, aren't you? That's just a little bit of a rock. It's just getting in the way of the flow of my spirit in your life. I know that I just need to keep coming back to God in repentance and allow him to transform my heart and my mind, because I can't do it on my own. I can't change my heart. Can you change your heart? No. God can change our hearts. He still wants to bless us, even when we're struggling with these things, in honesty, bringing them before him, wants to bless us and use us to bless others all the way along this journey. The key is just to be constantly listening to the Holy Spirit for our lives and for our community. It's our inheritance that we hear the voice of God. His Holy Spirit is active within us. We can discern his voice. We need to discern his voice and reject the enemy's voice. Yeah, because God's voice is encouraging, it's strengthening, and even when it's convicting us, even when he's putting his finger on things in our hearts, it's in such a way that will draw us into his healing grace. When the enemy speaks to us, it's condemning and crushing. We need to reject that with truth, but listen and be soft-hearted towards the Father's voice. So we need to recognize it when God's just putting his finger on some of these things in our lives. Not to make excuses, not to build comparisons. Well, I'm not as bad as that person in this area. No, it's about us and God. And just simply to repent. Say, Lord, yeah, you're right. I recognize it. Please help me. Come and transform my heart, transform my mind, set me free. I want to walk in freedom with you. And as we start to do that, great things happen. One of them is we just become more sensitive to it. We become more aware when those things just start to bubble up in our hearts. And to begin with, it may be we get to the end of a day and we kind of lie in bed and think, oh, you know, I just allowed that again just to take hold in my heart and just rob me of something today. But we recognize it. And we can then deal with it with our gracious, loving Heavenly Father. But we become more sensitive. And then maybe kind of it gets to a point where actually when it's starting to happen, we recognize it in our hearts. Oh gosh, now why am I thinking that? Why am I feeling like that? Yeah, I recognize that. I've been here before. And then we get to the point actually where as it's about to happen, we recognize it's going to happen and we say, Lord, help me. It's a journey that he's bringing us into. Why? Because he wants us to come into the fullness of everything that he has for us. And we can pray daily, whatever this thing is, God, in you, I'm going to be free from its hold on my life. It doesn't have the power to hold me or bind me. Because Jesus has set me free and he'll set me free again. So let's just be quiet before God. And it may be that you've sat here tonight and you've thought, actually, there's nothing in the moment that the Holy Spirit is just putting on my heart. There's nothing that's ringing a bell. Nothing that I feel I really need to deal with in these things, but just want to be vigilant about it. Just want to be aware. Holy Spirit, just keep me sensitive to you. But it may be as we've been worshipping or as I've been talking, that the Holy Spirit's just been kind of putting a finger on something in our lives. Either one of the things that I said, or maybe something's just sparked a thought in your mind. And you've just felt that gentle but firm conviction of the Holy Spirit about it. Why is it? Because God wants to draw us into his healing grace. So how do we respond? We don't make excuses. We don't make comparisons. We just recognize it. we just bring it honestly to God. Say, Lord, I'm really struggling with this at the moment. But you've set me free. Jesus, you overcame the world. You overcame all these things. And in you, I believe I can find freedom in them. So, Lord, would you transform our minds, transform our thinking, transform our hearts. Lord, we don't have the ability to do that ourselves. Would you do it? Holy Spirit, I pray now, would you come and begin that work in us? Lord, where we know there are things that maybe just tiny things, things that could just be a seed, but that could develop into something bigger. Lord, would you just help us? Lord, if there are things that we are really struggling with, and we know, would you come right now and begin to minister grace to us? And minister your healing. Lord, we just repent of these things. We say, Lord, we don't want to be held down by them. Lord, we don't want anything in our lives to just stop the flow of your Holy Spirit within us. Just want to take a couple of minutes. Let's be quiet. And let's just talk with God. Let's just ask him to do that in our lives.